Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله رب العالمين Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel مرحبا أهلا وسهلا بكم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد
صلى الله عليه وسلم
صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا نبي الله مولانا صاحب الحمد لله رب العالمين Usually it seems to be that Mondays are the burnout days. It's the first day of the week and it's a day when it just gets to your mind somehow or the other, working throughout the day and no different weathers and challenges.
Right.
In every country is different. But usually people fear from the Monday works. And you normally get people who say, well, it's a Monday, it's going to be a long day. I think because it's the beginning of the week and people use up their energies in the weekend. And the Monday, which is the first week, the first day of the week,
right.
And has to be on a good note. But since our discussion on Madani Channel is thrill seeking, and apparently thrill seekers wouldn't worry whether it's a Monday, whether it's a Tuesday, whether whatever moment it is. So yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, you may be assuming why we have discussed or why we are discussing thrill seeking. Apparently, dear viewers, we find this to be a major problem globally. And when we say major problem, literally major problem, dear viewers, why? Because many people out there who suffer from thrill seeking, call it adrenaline junkie as well, people who daring and they love and like doing things like that where their life is in risk or at risk. And they would not only risk their own lives, but the lives of other people as well. And at this point, many people have put others into difficulties, such as they have lost their own lives and the lives of others as well because of risk taking, daring, and all these other things, dear viewers of Madani Channel. So it all concludes to as adrenaline junkie. However, inshallah, azza wa jalla, we want to determine, dear viewers, maybe many of us have this problem that we like to be dead. We like taking huge risks in life. And what is the reason behind this? Is there any medical reason? Is there any stress in the mind on one's life? Situations around you that provoke you to that limit and extent where you become this person who just likes thrill seeking. And you don't only keep yourself at the edge of the border, but the rest of the entire family, people that know you, people that are associated with you. So there are for many reasons, not one, two, Maulana Sahib. Apparently, there are hundreds of reasons why people become that eventually.
Right.
But there are hundreds of people who don't realize that perhaps I have those symptoms of thrill seeking. And as you are watching this program, we are hopeful, inshallah, azza wa jalla, that we will be able to give some solution from Quran Pak and Hadith Mubarakah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us to overcome the situation. If we know of any person who is an adrenaline junkie and likes thrill seeking, he or she, whoever the case is. So inshallah, azza wa jalla, after finding solutions for this problem, because we look at it as a problem, Mulana Sahib. Many people out there look at it as excitement. You know, it's part of life, it's part of fun. As some people may mention, dear viewers, it's ironic how you feel most alive when your heart skips a few beats. Allahu Akbar. It's ironic how you feel most alive when your heart skips a few beats. And based on this, many people have not only skipped a few beats, but caused their hearts to stop beating for the rest of their lives.
Allahu Akbar.
It skipped many beats. So this is our discussion. Many families out there put in difficulties. There's married people, there are children, and you know, such communities out there who are regretting this type of actions, dear viewers. So especially people out there who are looking forward to sports, you know, bungee jumping, skydiving, scuba diving, deep sea diving. It's a passion for a lot of people, dear viewers of Madani Channel. But together with that, the risks that come with it, Allahu Akbar, is on another level altogether. But what dares a person to go deep down in the ocean, Mahasab? What dares a person to take that jump from over almost 15,000 feet up in the air, example? So this is what we would like to know from our Honorable Mulana Ziyad Madani Sahib, inshallah, Zawajal, who's our co-host, and together with him, mashallah, Zawajal, he does a very wonderful job, alhamdulillah, explaining these matters. So maybe, Mahasab, more light on the aspect of what is adrenaline junkie, what it entails, Mulana Sahib, and how thrill-seeking works and how people are provoked towards this direction.
Right, mashallah. Actually, people who are thrill-seekers, it's within the name that they seek thrill, all right? They want something that will thrill them. They want something that will stir an excitement within them, that will make them feel more energetic and will, make them feel a little bit more alive. Therefore, youngsters especially, I think adrenaline junkies are mostly among the youth. People who are thrill seekers, mostly among the youth. Not to say that you don't find them in the elders as well, but among the youth, they want that extra burst of energy in life. So they seek out situations that cause that. Now, let me just explain what is the biological concept behind it. What causes this surge of energy? There are some points in all of our lives when we need that surge of energy. But Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, Allah Ta'ala has created our body, and Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we as human beings, we are ashraful makhluqat, we are the best from amongst the creation of Allah. If you look into the human body, the creation of the human body, you are at awe that, wow, the Creator Azza wa Jalla has created this so perfectly for whatever situation this person may go into. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has made him capable of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal does not burden anyone with more than he can bear. So whatever the situation it is that you are bearing, that you are coping with, that you are going through, Allah Ta'ala gives you the strength and the abilities to be able to cope with that as well.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. This is Allah's mercy upon us. So we have certain situations in our lives when our minds and our bodies go under very intense stress. Under very intense stress. And at that moment, through the wisdom of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created our bodies in such a way that at that moment, we have a hormone that is released, which is called adrenaline. Now, this adrenaline that is released, it puts our body on full focus, full alert, in such a way that the eyes dilate, the pupils dilate, meaning you can see very clearly, the mind stays very fresh, the blood starts pumping very fast, the heart beats very fast, so blood is pumping to every muscle, every part of the body, and the person is very energetic at this time. And why is it that you're very energetic at that point? It's because the body's under a very stressful situation. You could fall, you could get hurt, you may be at a very high speed, so you know that your life may be at risk, and therefore you need to be very alert, because one moment of just falling asleep at that time could cause a lot of damage. So subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, you have this ability within you that your body becomes fully alive or becomes very energetic and the mind becomes very energetic. Now, this is for that stressful situation and to help us with that stressful situation. However, some people tend to enjoy this a little bit more than they should be enjoying it. Then they enjoy it so much that they start seeking more things to put their bodies in that stressful situation so that the adrenaline can be released again. So you'll find they're going for some sort of extreme sport. Like Murasa was talking about just now, you get skydiving. It's an extreme sport. You jump, people are jumping off aeroplanes or they're jumping off helicopters at very, high altitudes. And they're falling in free fall. That's very fast. You're falling towards the ground from sometimes thousands of meters above the ground. You're falling towards the ground. Imagine the stress the body is going under at that point. And as the body is facing that stress, adrenaline is then pumped in so that you can focus in order to be able to save your life. It's like the life-saving hormone. And then they will, use a parachute in order to land. You get people, sometimes you get what they call, speed junkies, that they just want high speed. I'm sure everybody knows someone like this. Some of us may be like this, that you just thrive off high speed. You crave some high speed. I mean, you're driving really fast. And that's the time they feel very alive. So these are high-speed junkies.
So the few beats were skipped at that time.
Yeah, at that point, they felt so alive because the adrenaline was pumping. However, you'd find that these moments, when you think you're feeling most alive, most of the time, it is the time that you are putting your life, your body, the ni'mas Allah gave you, and other people's lives at risk. When people are driving really fast, what happens? You could meet in an accident. You could break a leg. You could break an arm. You could hurt someone else. You could write off the vehicle. You could kill someone. Or your life could go. So these are
all these things, dangerous situations. They have to be put into a perspective. But Mohsab, the craze out there is that agar risky nahi hai koi cheez, if it's not risky, what's the fun? Where's the fun? This is what the youth of today want to know. If it's not risky, where's the fun? So people want to have fun with the risk, Mohsab.
Right, but now if you want to have fun with that risk in such a way that you put everything at risk, that if somebody is asking that question to within themselves now, right? You know, if it's not risky, then what's the fun? Unfortunately, I have some news also that you may just be in that category that we're speaking about today, that you are thriving off adrenaline. And remember this, adrenaline is going to, it's like working on you know, on full force, super speed, putting the machine, you got a machine and you're putting the machine at full speed. It's going to work very hard. So you're going to be working very hard. So if you're constantly in that thrill situation where your adrenaline is pumping in your body and that's what you are enjoying, the thing is, for how long before the machine burns out? So for how long before your mind and your body starts burning out? You find people, they want to be craving this excitement, right? And they have to, they work best under that excitement, working and working and working. And you give them a week of that excitement and then the body just says, you know, enough is enough.
Yeah.
They start collapsing. So there's a stop to it, basically. Yes.
Okay. Okay, Maulana Sahib, I think this was a very good introduction into adrenaline junkie itself. And alhamdulillah, we now understand it better. But of course, I did mention in the very beginning, there are some types of adrenaline junkies. Can Mohsab shed some light with regards to what are some of those types so that the viewers of Madinah channel out there could have a better understanding with regards to adrenaline junkies, the different types of adrenaline junkies and how we can then avoid them, inshallah.
Right. The types of adrenaline junkies, that is more towards what it is that they crave and what it is that they go towards. You find those that crave extreme sports. So extreme sports, like we discussed just now, you get skydiving, you get bungee jumping, you get some could may even say deep sea diving. Depends. Here in SA, we have a lot of people that enjoy shark diving, where they go and they swim among the sharks. You ask, why are you swimming among the sharks? You could, you know, just swim in the ocean in general. You found the spot with sharks because that's where the adrenaline's pumping, since the sharks may just bite and they could sometimes take a limb. But of course, there's different researches regarding sharks. We're not going too much into that. But nonetheless, these craving extreme sports, then you get those that are speed junkies and those that just crave high speeds. And then you got those that are just thrill seekers. So anywhere they find the thrill, they will look for dangerous places. They'll go hiking in those dangerous places. They will look for dangerous houses, you know, with neglected houses. And that's where they will go through. Unfortunately, sometimes it actually feels like we are putting ourselves in danger by doing these things. I know that we read some hadith of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that certain people, they have no one but themselves to blame if they put themselves in these situations, that those situations where you put yourself in danger,
right?
You yourself put yourself in danger. Now, if anything goes wrong, you have no one but yourself to blame. Mm-hmm. Like the person who goes and sleeps on the roof of his on a roof that doesn't have any balcony or balustrade. If he rolls off and falls, who else is he going to blame? So the situations you put yourself into, then if something goes wrong and you know you put yourself into something dangerous, if something goes wrong, understand that you are to blame. Mm. Now, how strange is it that this? No, not that it's not permissible also, but someone who sits in a vehicle and then he wants to drive very fast at a very risky speed, but he wants to make his du'as before traveling and ask Allah Ta'ala to please protect him. MashaAllah, ask Allah Ta'ala to protect you. But why are you putting yourself at such speeds where your life can be in danger? Where your vehicle can be in danger, where someone else, a pedestrian, someone walking on the road could be in danger. So you're pushing yourself into that situation and then you're asking for protection. Really, the dua and the action is not corresponding very well, you know. So these are some types of adrenaline junkies you get. And we'll discuss a little further regarding them as well. We're often looking at the people who practice these things. But you'll find as we go further with today's discussion that some people could just be addicted to adrenaline even though they're not involved in these activities. They seem to be involved in their normal lives. but they're thriving off that adrenaline. And these people, unfortunately, they are heading for burnout. It's very hard for them to be consistent.
So, Munasab, on this note, which is also very important to understand, right?
Right.
What is the biological mechanism of the adrenaline addiction itself?
So the release of that adrenaline is due to that stressful situation. So once your body goes into stress, your mind goes into a very stressful situation, your body releases adrenaline. When it releases this hormone, your body goes into what you call a fight or flight situation, where everything is on full alert and you are ready for whatever the situation is.
Wow.
Now, whilst the body is in that situation, at the same time, there's a hormone, another hormone within the mind or within the brain. The hormone that's released is called dopamine. This dopamine that's released gives your body a sense of pleasure. People feel a little bit of pleasure when that adrenaline is pumping in them, in their blood, in this bloodstream. And when they start to experience that pleasure, then they crave it over over and over again. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly finding that I want another stressful situation so that my body can release the adrenaline. And again, I feel that pleasure hormone, that I feel nice and I feel like I'm enjoying life and I'm enjoying those moments. As people crave it again and again, you have the difficulty where people actually become addicted to this natural substance.
Yes, yes, yes.
But nonetheless, it can cause quite a few dangers in our lives.
But many a times, Munasab, these dangers have become, we would say, headlines.
Yes.
Many a times.
Oh,
and
that's
unfortunately, Munasab, we had this incident this year, last year sometime. I remember seeing this one person doing a dive from the pier.
Mm-hmm.
Showing his viewers that he could manage to come out of these waves or from the midst of those waves, you know. And he took a dive. Perhaps he's a swimmer, he's not a swimmer, Allah knows best. But the way it was done, Munasab, it costed him his life. He was gone and he was never to return back.
So people are putting themselves in danger through this.
Exactly. You spoke about speed, Munasab. This is a global issue.
Mm-hmm.
How many Muslims pass away because of these car accidents?
Absolutely.
And the major reason behind it is that you'll find these guys maybe at the age of 25, 30. I'm saying the UK perhaps got this problem. South Africa is at its peak with this problem.
Right.
You know, parents out there buy their children expensive cars. According to one father, he was like, it's my money. I will buy my son whatever I want to buy.
Mm.
And he said this to some person. And then in recent times, that same son has lost his life. And
Allah.
He said this to another person. Well, it's my money. And I would love to buy for whatever I would love to buy for my son, whatever he would love to attain or get from me.
Mm.
And the son says, Dad, I want this car, Dad, I want that car, Dad, I want the helicopter, I want the airplane. So the fathers try to make every dream come true. But see, Munasab, how this adrenaline and this thrill seeking causes people to lose their lives. Again, that's one case every year. Aap apne mulk pe dekhe na, dear viewers, whether it's India, Pakistan, whether it's Africa, UK, surrounding countries of Africa, every country you go to. Some countries, most of the roads, they don't have any drag race. They don't have any drag tracks, should I say, to have a drag race. But even on those two lanes, some countries have two lanes throughout the whole country, you know, some countries in Africa itself.
Yes.
And you get people there as well who would want to, you know, do up their cars, put more faster mechanisms that could cause the horsepower to increase in the vehicle. And this makes a person become a daring person. Once you're driving a fast car, it means you have to always drive the fast car. You have to drive it fast. You can't drive a fast car slow, you know?
Yes, that's
And then
that's
you get triggers,
true.
People just trigger you because all along when I have stubborn and patience on the road, no, I'm not going to drive fast. Aaj main din bhar aaram hi se chalaunga. You know, this is the niyat you make. And then one person flies past you. He triggers you to say, well, did you beat me? Yet it's not even a race, bro.
Right.
Maybe that person could be rushing for some work and then another person is like activated altogether. It's like that button had to be pressed. And then people have lost their lives because of this as well. Unnecessarily racing, you know?
Yes.
So do you call this as well risk-taking in adrenaline junkie?
Yes, most definitely. This is risk-taking and this is causing adrenaline to be released. But now that Munasab mentioned risks as well, you know, you have certain situations, certain signs that you may just be attached or addicted to adrenaline, even though you may not be partaking in extreme sports, speed, or certain thrill-seeking activities. But some people, you may just find that they are just people who want to put themselves into or take the biggest risks that they can get.
Mm.
they are just risk takers. You find them in different walks of life. You could find them in business, that they just look for some risky situation, knowing that maybe the outcome can be good, but it is such a risky situation that the person could lose so much of their wealth. They would put themselves, their monies, their businesses into very risky situations that they find enjoyment, they find fun, they find a thrill in risk taking. And as time goes on, first the risks are calculated. We can take calculated risks. There's no harm in just taking some good calculated risk within business example. But once they enjoy the risk so much, from calculated, the risk goes towards even uncalculated risk, because now the calculated risk is not giving the same thrill. So they go into even uncalculated risks, and that causes some huge damages to people's businesses. It causes huge damages to their home, to their wealth, to their accounts, etc. Just because they have this feeling of, I want to take the risk. Why? Because the risk makes me feel alive. The risk makes me, you know, it keeps me on my toes. It makes me feel alert. Allah, so I want to stay alert. How am I going to stay alert? Put myself into the most risky situation, and then I'll be on my toes. If you want to take something, some risky situation, please take good calculated risks that don't involve your life, don't involve your family's lives. Don't put you or your family into danger. Take calculated risks. Beware not to take. Be careful not to take uncalculated risks. They can be
together,
dangerous.
Mashallah, Mohsab. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But also what's important is that people out there would like to know as well. I also feel that way. Right. There are many people out there who make decisions in the state of being impulsive, you know. Does impulsiveness lead to thrill-seeking itself?
I wouldn't say impulsiveness leads to thrill-seeking, but it is among the signs that you may just be a thrill-seeker as well. Thrill-seekers often have an impulsive behavior. Instead of good strategic planning, they just look at, on the spur of the moment, I need to land that decision. Suddenly, someone, quick decision, speak now, let's think about it later. So you find some very impulsive behavior. This is one of the trends that we see a lot among people who are thrill seekers, that they tend to have. One is, we discuss risky behavior. The other is impulsive behavior as well. And there's one other important point I'd like to share as well, that many viewers may realize that many people have this. So many people have this. People have they tend to procrastinate. They procrastinate means that they delay their work till the last minute. You find, whilst we were studying in schools and universities, our colleagues would say, I'm a pro at procrastinating. I mean, I'm so good at it. I do it so often. Students do this so much, the youth, that you'll find there's a project that's due, in a month from now, an assignment that's due in a month from now. They would leave the assignment until the day before it's due. My brother, why are you leaving it? I'll work on it then. I'll work best when I work on it then. If I start working from now, I won't work so well. I'll think best and I'll do my best if it's one day before. So they procrastinate all the way till one day before. Now, one day before, suddenly they start working. And guess what? They work very well. They do so well in that one day. But here's the danger. If you delayed it until one day before, why did you do well one day before? It's because you felt the pressure, isn't it? There was stress on you. There was pressure on you. So when the stress and pressure was on you, that's the point at which your adrenaline was kicking in. That's the point at which you felt the thrill.
And the person can only work under that thrill.
Yes, they can work only with that thrill, only under that pressure. So when they're working under that pressure, they'll work well. But the pressure is so much. Now imagine that one day of pressure, your body can manage, alhamdulillah, most of us. Now if you constantly procrastinate, you don't have one day of pressure. Because now, today you are doing the work that was due yesterday or due today. Tomorrow you're doing the work that was due today. The day after that, you're doing the day before's work. You're always working under pressure. You're working at the last minute. The body can't manage. The body can manage pressure for the day. But now the same pressure, the same stress, the same working on overdrive for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, 20 days, 1 month. How long more are we going to work on overdrive before we burn out? So rather, it's important to work constantly, consistently at a good pace in a planned, well-calculated manner, rather than working only on overdrive and then burning out after every project.
Allahu Akbar. I really like the advice, Mawlana Sahib. Alhamdulillah. It's very beneficial. And as you did mention, it is something which is a global procrastination, you know, amongst youth especially.
MashaAllah. Yeah, we have a situation as well. MashaAllah, it's good to do ibadat. Mm-hmm. And we want people to do ibadat. Please, you have the little while that you have in life, you need to work hard and do ibadat. Don't we notice as well that on certain special occasions, people spend lots of time in ibadah. Or suddenly someone says, I want to start doing ibadah, and he hasn't performed much nawafil in his life. And so from today, he wants to spend the whole night in nawafil. Now, mashallah, it's good to do so. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us how to keep that balance in life. You know, just now we were speaking about how perfect and how well your life will work out. If you keep a balance, you work with the schedule, and you don't push yourself on overdrive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those a'mal that are done consistently, even if they be small in number.
MashaAllah.
Allah ta'ala loves those a'mal that are done consistently, even if they be small in number. This is teaching us a mindset. Huzur Ekrem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us a mindset that you don't need to go on overdrive for a short period of time. Your way as a believer should be a very balanced way. You should keep your decorum. Every day you do certain ibadat. Every day, if the one who performs 2 rakat of nafil daily or every night, this is better than only once a year you standing and performing maybe 100 rakat of nafil. Consistency. Little amounts with consistency. How much you can manage. Not to push yourself into overdrive. Do the bit you can manage, but do it consistently. Inshallah, you live in a very perfect, beautiful balance. Islam is a very balanced deen. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And we are so fortunate that Islam has guided its followers, MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And Islam is a religion, dear viewers, that never leaves its followers through all walks of life. Every situation, the solution is with Islam, dear viewers.
Alhamdulillah.
Even if you say, I want to live life unsafe, unsure, but fearless, Allahu Akbar, but be not afraid. This is the comments we hear from the youth, dear viewers of today. Allahu Akbar, I want to live life unsafe and unsure, but not afraid, Mawlana Sahib. You know, these are the statements that you don't want to live with fear, but remember, there are people out there who also say, once you become fearless, Mawlana Sahib, life becomes limitless. Allahu Akbar. All these statements are just statements to create that hype, you know?
Yes.
To create that excitement, to make you feel like you're never going to have to be under any person. But yes, dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, the thing is that with becoming so fearless and removing the fear of everything from the world in our hearts, we have actually left the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
That Rabb Azza wa Jalla, who has commanded us over several places in the Quran Park for us to fear Him.
Yes.
Fear Him. Fear Him alone. But unfortunately, we have the fear, or we're trying to remove the fear from our heart of every other thing. If you want to become fearless of everything in the world, then start fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because this is the hadith, the one who fears Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah Kareem will cause the fear of every other thing to exit and leave from his heart.
SubhanAllah, that's so true, Huzur. The one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't fear anything else. People sometimes feel like, I need to take a really risky situation. My brother, but why are you putting yourself in such a dangerous situation? I need to take this fear out of my heart. Really, the way Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught you to take fear out of your heart, what is it? It's actually putting fear. You should put fear into your heart. But the thing is, what fear should you put? You place in the heart fear of Allah, then the fear of the creation exits the heart. Those two fears, fear of the creation and fear of the creator, they can't exist together. The fear of the creator will remove the fear of creation. And if you fear the creation only, then you are not fearing Allah. So we must fear the Creator. You know, why must you fear things around you, the means, when you can actually fear the Creator, the one who created all of these things?
Allahu
and therefore you find the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no lion of the jungle or tiger of the jungle. There was no dog. There was no snake. There was nothing that could strike fear in them. Subhanallah.
MashaAllah, subhanAllah. So talking about snakes and fear, Masab, you know, this is something today, people run away from cockroaches, Masab.
Allah.
Even a little insect is there, and then we start fearing, we start breaking our salat. But as Masab mentioned, once the fear of the dunya has left your heart, and if the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla has overtaken your heart, then trust me, dear viewers, you will have to be successful through walks of life. Through all walks of life, you will be successful. Why? Because once a heart is overpowered by the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then you will be able to carry out every other piece of work that you want to in life. Not with pressure. Don't carry out those tasks and activities because you want pressure in your life. Oh, many people out there who think that I'll just keep this to myself. But they also make other people join them in those activities, Mansa. Mm. Eventually, you have a crew that you have made after 10 years, you know, motivating this one, motivating that one. You have made many people fearless in that way. Allahu Akbar. This is the level of the piety, Mansa. That yes. is the meaning of taqwa.
Yes.
Taqwa, piety, dear viewers. The more you fear Allah, automatically, because of anxiety, you're doing this. We have this adrenaline problem. Is it because of the pressure of life, because of the way you were brought up in your childhood, perhaps? The violence you've seen in your childhood. Many people must have turned to these activities because of what they had seen in their childhood.
As an escape.
An escape. Oh. And as you mentioned, the mind releases those chemicals.
Yes.
Which is very addictive, Mansa, as you mentioned, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Addiction is the very same thing. That dopamine is, of course, dopamine is released from the brains. And then this chemical makes you feel the urge and the crave of something that's not there present with you. So if a person is jumping from a high place, he just wants to be at a high place all the time. And we have seen people doing funny, funny tricks, Mansab. But at the end, dear viewers of Madani Channel, please kindly do yourself a favor, if possible, and especially for the youth, this is, have a look at the stats. In the last year, in your country, how many deaths have taken place because of adrenaline junkie, because of thrill seeking, because of dare, you know, the devil dare, that dare me and I can do this. People need that motivation, that push. I want to be a hero in my class. I want to show my classmates I'm the one who can do this. And this risk and daring people, and sometimes the dare people who don't have the ability to do that. Children do that amongst each other, you know?
Yes.
I dare you, I do, because you know this child cannot do that. This brother of mine cannot do that. So they dare, and they push. And many people then, after doing it once, realize, but I did it. And made me feel so good. And I want to do it again. People turn towards drugs because of that, Mansa.
Yes. That's one of the major issues. Someone may feel that, okay, I'm just, you know, enjoying the thrill of certain activities.
Right.
Because they put me in this whole, this stress situation, and I feel the adrenaline rush, and therefore I enjoy it. So I'm doing certain activities. See, as you continue with certain activities, eventually the body becomes sort of immune to it. Now, immune means the same effect it was having the first time, it's not having the last time. Mm. So the first time you felt very, you know, much enjoyment. The second time, little less. The third time, little less. As you went on 30 times, 40 times, the enjoyment is gone.
Allah.
You're not feeling the enjoyment anymore. So then they look for something bigger. They look for something different in order to give the same rush. So here you have sometimes a transfer. We call it a transfer of addiction. Where they move the addiction off those activities and sometimes onto substances. Onto substances, meaning substances like different drugs. Why? Because those drugs put you in a similar situation, make you feel similar to how you were feeling at that point. So they move towards those drugs and they find that, now the drug is giving me that feeling. And then they continue with the drug. There'll come the point after 30 or 40 times of taking the drug, the body is also becoming a bit immune to the drug. What happens then? You go to a higher level drug And really, by the time they've reached quite a few heights, they realize I've taken so much of the drug in order just to feel that same level of pleasure. And along the way, I have lost everything. By the time you take your focus off that drug and you turn back, and then you realize that my family is no more here. My wife and children are no more here. My business and job is no longer here. My wealth is no longer here. My friends are no longer here. Today I'm sitting with no one. I've lost connection with the masjid. I've left my recitation of the Holy Quran. I don't know when last I performed salah. We have the situation that people are so involved in these wrongs that they would perform salah only on a Friday. It is such difficulty that there was a youngster that was got involved in these drugs just because, well, it's giving him that rush. And a relative of that child came to me and said that at the end of Ramadan, it was so heartbreaking that a relative came and said that, throughout this month of Ramadan, we'd go for Taraweeh Salah, we'd go for different Salahs. This child would just not attend Salah. He says that the day of Eid came and the day of Eid went, and this child didn't even attend the Eid Salah, that he's lost so much connection with the deen because of being so lost in these things, just thrill after thrill, drug after drug, addiction after addiction, just so that the thrill can keep going. There comes a point when you turn around and you look and you say, ah, really, I've lost everything. I was attached to the masjid, today I'm not. I was attached to the deen, today I'm not. I used to recite Quran, today I have difficulty remembering the Holy Quran. This is, you know, it's a sad reality. Please be careful. Don't let one thing pass on to the other. Keep our focus in life. Keep your time for your Quran. Keep your time for your salah. You know, if you keep your time for salah, when you keep your time for salah, you start working your day around that. Mm. And when you start working your day around that, everything just falls into place. You have no time to just, you know, experience one big thrill, or nor can a person even take drugs. If someone is, you know, he's stubborn, he's not going to leave his salah, he loves his salah. Mm. He can't manage to take a drug because he knows by the time of the next salah, I may still be in an intoxicated state, I can't perform salah like that. He can't touch alcohol because he might be in an intoxicated state. He can't go to salah after that. He can't go towards the wrong, you know, because he knows that I need to keep my... He can't go towards wrong relationships because he knows that I need to keep myself pure because the time of salah is going to come. He's just... Salah keeps you in line, really. So if somebody is going through some sorts of difficulties, some sorts of addictions, my advice to you is you need to take one step at a time, isn't it? Let the first step be, I will perform all of my salah. Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar," isn't it? The salah is going to save you. The salah will protect you, inshallah. It will become the means of protection from all the other wrongs and all the other addictions. Inshallah, from being steadfast on salah, you'll see life will come back in order, inshallah.
SubhanAllah. And especially that you spoke about salah, we spoke about procrastination, right?
Right.
It is something very closely to this, Master. People who delay in their works or like to delay their works for whatever reason, procrastinating, right, as you mentioned, right? Also start doing this with their ibadah.
Ah.
Procrastination, some people may like, and we all, I would say, Master, but somewhere down the line involved with procrastinating, somewhere down the line, right? We say, baat ke liye chhod dete hai, baat ke liye chhod dete hai. Are bhai, baat ke liye chhod dete hai, namaz sura chhodi na baat ke liye. Because when we leave things for the last minute, especially with salah, dear viewers, then for some people it becomes, astaghfirullah, as a burden, Master.
Mm.
And a person starts to feel heavier, like Isha Salah. Many people out there would say that they may find it difficult with 17 rakat. But those would feel it even more heavier who leave namaz for 12 for midnight.
Mm-hmm. Yes, different people are different, but you do find that majority of the people find it difficult if they're performing salah, if they're leaving their salah for very late. That's when it starts to feel a little bit heavier. Mashallah, I have seen some people though, alhamdulillah, that whatever the time is, whether sleep cannot arrive. They just don't fall asleep if they haven't performed salah. It can be 12 at night, 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
If they have not performed salah, they will not be able to get sleep. And for them, even if they were to perform salah at a latter part of the night, alhamdulillah, they do perform. They will perform their salah because it's become their habit. They don't know how to fall asleep without having performed salah. And I've seen these people as well. Perhaps Mona Sab has seen, if you've seen, you can share with me as well, that the people who, when the time of salah comes in, they become edgy, that they cannot go on with their tasks until they perform the salah.
No,
the time
definitely.
Of Dhuhr came in, they want to perform salah. They want to perform salah. You say, but my brother, there's 3 hours left for Dhuhr to end. But I didn't read Dhuhr. I need to stop. I need to read Dhuhr. And then we can talk again.
MashaAllah, we all have people like this that we know of. We call them piety. This taqwa and piety. Fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that is something that they would never want to risk, Masa. That is something that they would never want to take a chance with.
Yes.
They will be so calculated that hum sab kaam kare, hum bas namaz agar beech mein aaya. If namaz comes in the center of my work, I will drop everything and move towards
and the beauty of that is that whatever work you involve yourself in, you know, whatever the work is that it is that you have to do, you remember that work also, the completion of that work and that work becoming successful, you being successful in the accomplishment of that work is in someone's power, isn't it? That's in Allah's power.
Allah.
Imagine if we present ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then we go on with whatever work we need to. The accomplishment of the work is in the power of Allah.
Bishop
Allah will make it easy.
Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanallah. Just as you said that, I'm just recalling Amir al-Sunnat's Andaz, Damat Barakatuh al-Aliya, that even when he went for his procedure, Masab, his operation,
yes,
he made mashwara with the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Advice was seeking from the doctor, will any of the salahs come within the time of my operation?
Allahu Akbar.
And if it is such, then do this operation in such a time and there's a longer period for my recovery so I can be up for Salah.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, this alone teaches us how great is our leader, Mawlana Sahib.
Alhamdulillah.
How staunch and how steadfast is our leader upon the Sharia. And this is the fear he instills in the hearts of millions of followers, subhanAllah. Importance of Salah. Importance of Salah. Those people that used to neglect Salah and were professionals in procrastinating on Salah have become addicts of Salah.
Wow.
Yeah, they become punctual of Salah. Yani, ab wo namazo ke liye uthate hai dusro ko. Ki aaiye sadai Madina lagate hai saath mein, subhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
So this is the blessings of Dawat Islami. Support your beautiful organization, dear viewers of Madini Channel. This is the movement of Quran and Sunnah. And as you are watching the program called Reformation of the Ummah, we are trying to find a problem which is a major problem in society. Mawasab, yani procrastination, adrenaline junkies, these thrill seeking, so on and so forth. The youth of today, especially Mawasab, are the ones who may have these symptoms and you know, qualities, and they like doing things. Some people, for the sake of fun, just manage, you got no stress, you got no pressure, you got no adrenaline junkie. But you just like doing it because others do it. What do you say about this, Mawlana Sahib? It's a fun. I want to be on that height. I want to jump to feel the rush. I never knew what's a rush all about. I just want to feel it for some reason.
Yeah, you see, you may want to feel the rush once, and you can feel the rush once. It's just that you are putting yourself at risk, number one. And one of my biggest fears, or one of our biggest fears, is that if you tend to enjoy the rush, you may want to do it again. And then you enjoy it then you want to do it again. And will there be any fulfillment of it? Will it ever come to an end? That the thrill, once you experience the thrill, you want to experience more
again
of the thrill.
Again.
So it goes on again and again. And then there's many of us that come with it. The one who experienced the thrill one time, and if he's never going to experience it again, or he's left it completely, we have hope that everything is fine, alhamdulillah. It's not wrong. You know, it's not that he's done a wrong deed or so. But once people become addicted to that thrill, then lots of difficulties open in their lives. That becomes their main focus. They start to neglect other primary duties. We need to also work on how is it that a person who is perhaps addicted to adrenaline, you know, the adrenaline rush, and he's identified that I have this problem, that I'm addicted to it. I want that adrenaline. I want that, you know, I want it to pump through my blood. I want that thrill.
I like the way you said, I want to pump through my blood.
because
this is the jazba, the josh they come with.
Because at that moment, many of us have experienced that rush, that adrenaline rush. And the adrenaline rush is such that you feel it through, it's like you're feeling it through every cell of your body. Allah. You're on such an alert. Alhamdulillah, it's something that can be used to help you in a stressful situation. But when people get too attached to it, then we need some solutions for them as well. That what can you do in order to, you know, to manage this? And one of the important points as well, it has been discussed just now by Mawlana Sahib, that we need to identify what it is that triggers that feeling. What is it that triggers the feeling? What is it that triggers you to crave and to look towards adrenaline rush? Sometimes, for some people, it's just depression. That whenever they feel low, they want to feel extremely high. They feel like I'm at a very low point in my life. I need to go towards that addiction of mine, or I need to go towards that drug of mine, or I need to just go towards that activity of mine that gives me that rush, because that's when I feel good. So when you identify your triggers, then you know I must be careful that I don't face those triggers. Limit the amount of situations you'll have when you face the trigger. You may have a person, like we discussed now, people who drive really fast. Even though they may be trying not to drive very fast, they have certain triggers. If your trigger is that you jumped into and you start driving a car that has immense power, you know, that's really fast. So that's your trigger. Try not to drive a car that has so much of power, that's just that, it's that fast. If you're going to drive and then you see someone driving really fast and that's going to trigger you, you need to work another method. You have to have some coping mechanism now that is triggering me. At that point, I'm going to think of something. Amir al-Sunnat is so careful. In order not to get carried away, he also has certain things that he does. Because the world can become our trigger sometimes, you know, to lead us away from the obedience of Allah and to make us ghafil, neglectful.
Allah,
I've seen Amir al-Sunnat's way that he fights every trigger of the dunya.
Allah.
Is that every here and there, in Amir al-Sunnat's home too, you see al-maut. He writes al-maut. That he looks towards these writings of al-maut, and al-maut means death. that I'm going to face death at some point. I'm going to face death at some point. I need to prepare for that. I need to be pious. I need to worship Allah. I need to be steadfast. I need to be conscious. I need to have taqwa. So if you have, you know, that trigger that's going to face you, then look towards something that brings you back to your senses. Wow. Perhaps in your own birkan, right? Al-Mawt. You know, death. So it brings you back to your senses and your reality that, you know, death is a reality. I can't waste my life in running after this and doing this crazy activity and doing this dangerous activity when I have an akhirah to prepare for. Inshallah, as we identify our triggers, we'll be able to work in such a way that we can start to contain ourselves instead of just being pushed by the wind.
This is the point where each and every person out there should analyze and make a firm intention. At some point, a changing point will come in your life. Lekin, Mufti Azam Hind said, Riyazat ki yahi din. Budhapi mein kaha himmat?
Huzur, read with this for me.
Subhanallah. Imam sahab, inshallah, azza wa jal kehte.
Riyazat ki yahi din hai, budhapi mein kaha himmat. Riyazat ki yahi جو کچھ کرنا ہے اب کر لو ابھی نوری جوان تم ہو. مفتی اعظم ہند رحمت اللہ علیہ says that riyazat ke yahi din hai. Mona sahab understands Urdu very well, but for viewers of Madin channel that are watching English, perhaps because they don't understand Urdu as well, but some may just enjoy, mashallah, learning or watching the English Madin channel. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us that we have these languages in which the deen is taught and spread. Alhamdulillah. He says that riyazat ke yahi din hai, burape mein kaha himmat. He says that today is the day of action. Today is the day of ibadah. Today is the day of worshipping Allah, pleasing Allah. Today is that day. Oh, Nuri, today is the day. His laqab, his title or his pen name was Nuri. So he says, today is the day of hard work in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where are we going to find the energy when we are old? In old age, where are we going to find the same energy that we have today? He says, jo kuch karna hai, ab kar lo. Abhi Nuri jawan tum ho. Whatever you want to do, do today, because today, Nuri, you are a young man. Today you have youth on your side. And for us, for, you know, many of the youth out there that face these sorts of problems that we explain today as well, that you have your youth in which you can worship Allah. You have your youth in which you may fear Allah. You have your youth for salah. You have your youth for so many good ibadat. That don't waste this youth in useless activities and then think that at my old age, I'm going to perform ibadah. Where will we find the energy in our own old age? Today we have the energy. Today is the day of hard work. Today is the day that we must strive and we must work hard. And good news for the young man, for the youngster, for the young man or young lady that attaches themselves to ibadah in their youth. Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that the young person who attaches themselves to ibadah while they have the energy and does their ibadah, worships Allah azza wa jal, once they reach old age, they don't have the same energy to continue those ibadah. But Allah azza wa jal gives them the thawab as if they are still continuing those ibadah. So if today you have the energy to perform extra nawafil, do so today. If you are, once you reach old age and you don't have that energy to be able to perform extra nawafil, inshallah Allah will give you the thawab as if you are still performing the extra nawafil. Another young Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that one of the youngsters that will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the people from the group that will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah azza wa jal, will be those whom in their youth they were attached to the masjid. So be attached to the masjid in your youth, be attached to the deen in your youth, not to useless activities. Work hard in the right direction and inshallah azza wa jal, you'll find beauties like thawab in your old age as well when you can't perform the ibadah, and shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment when there's no shade besides that shade which Allah gives.
Subhanallah. Yes, dear viewers, no matter what research you may do on this subject, you know, there's a lot of information out there that you can gather with regards to adrenaline junkie, soul seeking, What are the triggers? How you get this problem? How can you leave this problem? But today we have given you solutions from Quran and Hadith.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Our deen teaches us to be moderate with regards to these matters, especially dear viewers. How to treat them. So everything is in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Alhamdulillah.
Everything is only in fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And guess what? If you are stuck in any situation, look up at this translation of this verse. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So, if there's any situation that you are stuck in, dear viewers, Khawfi Khuda will allow you to escape from the problem.
Subhanallah.
Because Allah Himself says, I will create a plan for you to escape from the problem. This is the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Turn towards Him. Anxiety, stress, marital problems, history of your family problem, drugs, whatever the case may be, hardships in your youthful days, in your young days. A lot of people out there have seen their parents being torn apart, and because of that, Mazhab, they grew up in such environments, you know, of violence. And today they are hard people because of what they have seen in their childhood. It's not too late. Forget the past and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This rush will never get you on the right track. People who go to this rush actually get worse, Mazhab. And there's a time when no one can even sit in your gathering because of you putting others into the same rush all the time. So may Allah Kareem have mercy on our souls, dear viewers. The Quran Pak is the solution. Namaz is a solution. Fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla is a solution to all our problems, especially to renal junkies as well as thrill seeking and all of these daring that we're talking about tonight. We say shukran, barakallah to our honorable Ziyad Madani Attari Salamahul Bari, mashallah, Mahasab, for always joining us in this program. And we say that Mahasab is the co-host, mashallah. Soon Mahasab will be asking me questions as well. We shall see that as well, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. May Allah Kareem bless all the viewers of Madani channel. Make dua for the ummah at large, wherever Muslims are suffering globally. Allah Karam, aisa kare tujh pe jahan mein. اے دعوت اسلامی تیری دھوم مچی ہو آمین بجاہ النبی الامین صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
Reformation of Ummah Reformation of Ummah Reformation of Ummah